Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
Hey, sorry for the delay. We thought we were actually recording. We weren't. It's the Urban Sports Team on the Eyes Radio Network. I was like, wow, we did a whole like 15 minutes of nothing.
I guess that's what they call technical difficulties.
At the extreme, son. At the extreme. I'm here talking to Will, and we're like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure if we're actually recording.
Wow.
Hey, man, it's real out here, man. Anyways,
well, at least we got a dry run.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it flowed, too. That's the bad thing about it. It really did flow. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Team on the Eyes Radio Network. We're not going to get into the stuff we were talking about earlier. Dang, we had some real good conversations,
too. We did. We had excellent conversations.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, liquor and all that good stuff.
Day party.
Let me shout out. Like, let me at least do that. I'm going to shout out Carpe Diem. I went to the day party at 201 Lounge, which is in Washington, D.C., by, you know,
Capitol Hill.
Yes, this feels real redundant right now, but it was a nice party. They had their own little drink called Carpe Diem. Make sure you check them out. Google them. And, you know, when the event comes out, we're going to shoot them out on our show. I'm going to shout them out on our show and make sure you can attend one of their events.
I enjoyed celebrating my nephew's birthday, which was Monday over the weekend. Chuck E. Cheese. And, yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. That's good, man. It's going down to our normal stuff, right? Make sure, hey, like I said, it's the Urban Sports Unit Eyes Radio Network. Make sure you check out Clutch Sports Radio. The show is not affiliated with Eyes Radio, but make sure you check them out. The show is produced by our good friend Darwin. Visit his site. It's www.darwin-sports.com. Also, check out Voice of the Fan podcast show. These are my homies. So it's make sure you visit them at www.blogtalkradio.com/voiceofthefan. Show is hosted by Alex, Jeff, and Adonis Jones. So make sure you tune into them. Hilarious cats. And also check out our show, which is syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by our good friends from Applegee. So you make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Yes. It's Major League Baseball, man. The playoffs. I'm sorry. This just seems so redundant. It's the playoffs. Cardinals are up on the Dodgers 2-1.
Yeah. Dodgers got that all-important win, game three, for them. Yasiel Puig hit a triple, which was probably maybe like the highlight of the postseason so far, with, you know, from the way that, because when initially he hit it, he thought it was gone, and he took his first couple steps out of the box were very slow. But then once he saw that it wasn't going out of the park from first to third base, it was like it was reminiscent of Bo Jackson with his speed and him being the size that he is.
Yeah, I like the kid. I like the kid. The kid has a lot of spunk. He reminds me of Vlad Guerrero. He has an arm from the outfield, from right field. He can run. He's fast around the bases. He has power. Not in terms of a hitter, not as good as Vlad Guerrero in my opinion. But he's on his way. I see the Dodgers. You know, taking game three was important, essential. Now that it's a series to me, now all they have to do is try to close it out, wrap it up on
Wow, you keep saying those. You keep dropping them again.
I know. I can't stop.
You said it when we were taping.
I know. This is a different.
This is a wholly different one.
First I said pull it out.
That was like wrapping it up.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up, B. Dave Chappelle, you got to catch the show anyway. But the Dodgers need game four to make this a series of pitching. It was surprising to me that they could even take game three when Wainwright starting. They took that game, and now game four is right there for them. I'm interested to know who's going to pitch for them today. Will it be Greinke I forgot his name. It's the lefty. I can't think of it right now, but it's up in the air. So
yeah, I'm still holding my prediction. I still feel as if the Dodgers will win this, not in six, but in seven. So, interesting series, you know, them getting that first win, game three makes it all more compelling. So we'll see tonight.
Well, right now, I think Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers are playing. The series is tied 1-1. Thoughts of the series, Will?
Thoughts of the series? I've been watching it. So, you know, it's, I'm pulling for the Tigers. I think that they, pull it out. Big Poppy, that
grand slam.
That grand slam was amazing because they were, you know, if you think about it, because they were down, what, five? They were 5-3?
5-1.
Yeah, 5-1 at that point. And for him to, you know, for not, it's a difference for people to say you're clutch and do it sometimes, but for people to call you clutch and come up in big moments like that, it's just it was amazing. Sight to see.
And it's funny because, you know, like a couple years ago, people thought Big Papi was done, and he hit that grand slam, and now Boston now has belief, because you can see it. Being down 5-1, knowing that, you know, a chance that you're going to lose this series. I mean, you're going to lose, to be down 2-0 going to Detroit with Verlander on the mound. I'm sure they thought that the series was over. I thought the series was over after I saw 5-1, and Scherzer was doing his thing, and eventually he came out of the game, and I believe Benoit is the one who gave up the grand slam. So now it's a series. Just like I said the same thing about the Dodgers, I'm rooting for the Tigers, but I'm real. It's a series right now with the Boston Red Sox and the Tigers. You never know what's going to happen. Verlander, I expect him to dominate, but you can't always rely. You have to rely on the offense to produce for the Tigers, and the bullpen to close a game out. You're 5-1. You need to close it out. This is playoff baseball. I mean, this is playoff baseball, so you got to do the job. Anyway, let's go to something a little bit more serious. Adrian Peterson's child was killed by his baby mother's boyfriend.
Yeah, very tragic, very sad to hear. I'm surprised that he even was able to play during the game on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers with such a heavy heart. You know, from third party, because I'm not on any social network platform. I've heard that people.
We know you don't like social media.
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's just I just don't do it.
Hey, it's okay, son. It's okay. While I understand.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people being critical of him and, you know, the mother of the child. But, you know, at this time, we don't need to be critical. We just need to, you know, send our condolences and our prayers out to him. And also, you know, people, you know, don't get on social media talking crazy to the man, tweeting him crazy stuff about, you know, his personal life when it comes to his kid. You know, just be respectful and be private. And, you know, that's about it. That's it.
Oh, for me, you know, I mean, I tweeted him. I was just, you know what I'm saying? I tweeted him, you know, prayers go out to him and his family and things of that sort, you know, because anytime you lose a child, I mean, it's just, to me, it's heart-wrenching. I don't care if you're a celebrity or, you know, a regular person. To me, it is what it is. It's all the same. You know, it's a loss is a loss. I feel bad, you know, for the mother after I thought about it. At first, I was like, wow, she didn't vet the dude. She probably had warning signs that the dude was kind of temperamental, and you know, that's the first thing that came to my mind initially. But actually, when I sat down and actually thought of the whole thing, it was like, okay, Wally, she lost her son. You know, it's nothing, you can't do anything about that. Like, she lost her son, so we can't really be negative about that, about her, because it's at the same time, she spends her time. This is a mother's love, period. This is her baby. She lost her baby, so we have to feel bad for her. She lost her child. I can't imagine what she's going through. Can't imagine what Adrian Peterson's going through. And like we talked off air, I guess, like you said, the worst thing, period, in this whole situation is the kid will not get to fulfill his destiny.
Yeah, he'll never get to live out his dreams and never get to live up to his potential. So, you know, once again, our condolences go out to the Peterson family and the family of the mother. Wow.
It's a sad
very,
situation.
Very tragic, really very really sad. Is. But let's move on to not as sad, but a sad situation. That's the Washington Wizards. They play tonight against the Miami Heat at the Verizon Center at 7:30. It'll be interesting to see how this team gels around John Wall. He was given a big contract over during the offseason. Him, Bradley Beal, you know, as you stated off air, Otto Porter won't be playing. Nene,
time I checked, he won't be playing.
Yeah.
So.
Nene is back in Brazil where he was booed.
Yeah, like we said earlier.
This is all deja vu.
I know, right?
It's like Groundhog Day.
I know, right? Jeez.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the team comes together and see how some of the pieces, you know, Jan Vesely, Al Harrington, they signed Josh Childress. So I want to see how some of the new veteran pieces come together and see how everyone plays off of John Wall.
Yeah, it's all about John Wall. John Wall makes the team go. And the excitement is they're going to be playing the Miami Heat, so, you know, people are going to really want to attend the game. It's here, right?
Yeah, it's here. Okay. But like I said earlier, yeah, I'll be watching the first 30 minutes of it, because at 8 o'clock, 30 for 30 on ESPN, they have an interesting documentary, No Moss. I believe No Moss is probably the first worst Spanish words that a lot of people have heard
in boxing. Yeah,
in boxing, because it's it relates to Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. For those of you who don't know, during their fight, I believe it was 87, Roberto Duran said no moss on the stool during the eighth round during their rematch.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes saying it. I like saying it just for the hell of it. No moss, no moss. It just sounds cool. No moss.
Sounds
no
muscle. Cool.
Anyway, real quick, you know, we're talking about the Miami Heat. LeBron James said, you know, he would love to sit down with Michael Jordan to discuss his game. Should he even care?
Yeah, I mean, because clearly he emulates. I mean, you know, he
emulates.
I'm not gonna say he emulates, but people have been compared, saying he's the next great thing that who could surpass Michael Jordan. So, you know, for them to not have a conversation thus far, I can understand why. He probably wanted to achieve a couple of things before he felt that he was capable of sitting down and talking to Michael Jordan, because there have been a lot of players in the NBA now who sat down and had talks with Michael Jordan, like Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant especially.
Dwayne Wade,
tons of guys who sat down and talked to Michael Jordan. So, you know, I hope that it's a conversation they can have. I wish I could be a fly on the wall. You know,
I don't care for the conversation.
You don't? Why not?
Because it's overrated to me. Why should he care? I mean, I'm be real with you, man. I love LeBron James, right? Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Magic Johnson. He's a souped up Magic Johnson to me. But this is why I think that he doesn't need to talk to Michael Jordan. Why should you? Your games are totally different. Your game is not even similar to this dude. If you were a Kobe Bryant Melo, I understand. I understand, because you're similar. You're killers. Like, you're going for the throat. Like, period. You're about 30. You're about 30. You know what I mean? 30 points. That's what you about. This dude ain't about 30. This dude about 25. He want to get 10 to 10. He ain't about that. He about triple doubles. If he was want to talk to Oscar Robertson or Magic Johnson, I agree with it. Even a Jason Kidd, to be totally honest with you, I'm down with that. Or even like a Grant Hill. I mean, that's what Grant Hill used to do. I am down with that.
Okay.
You're talking to a dude. This game is not your. It's not your game. That's like Larry Bird talking to Dominique Wilkins about. I mean, Larry Bird talking to Dr. J about. How can I make my game better? It's two totally different games.
Well, I understand that their games are two totally different. And, you know, everyone who's ever watched a basketball game knows that Kobe is probably the closer thing to Michael Jordan, just from a personality standpoint and the way their style of play. But did you think of it from this perspective, that, you know, just from both of them, I think it's fair to say that Michael Jordan is a global icon when it comes to basketball, correct?
Yeah, teach his own.
In a moment of truth, you'll definitely say yes. LeBron James is kind of taking that torch, and it's kind of become the next big global icon, the next big thing in basketball, from the perspective of not only on the court but business and their position in pop culture. So I think, you know, this is an interesting conversation that they'll want to have. That for them to have. And also, I see you saying no.
I don't care about Michael Jordan.
we all know. I think anyone who's listened to the show from day one knows.
I'm gonna go off. I'm gonna go off.
That you don't care about Michael Jordan, but no, I think it's a conversation he had, because that's probably a guy he grew up idolizing. You know, he wore 23 in high school and his first years in the pros.
All these idiots wear 23.
So, you know, he's a guy that's his idol. That's someone he's idolized. So.
His game is not even close to Michael Jordan.
Okay.
And Jordan can have the conversation with Jordan. Okay. All he wants. I'm gonna tell LeBron, you don't need to have that conversation. It's stupid, and all this stupid crap about him being a GOAT is ridiculous. And this needs to end now. All I'm saying is, you go talk to Magic. If you want to know about how to make people better and win championships and lead your team, go to Magic. All right. Go to Magic, where he leads greatness. You know, Magic had Kareem and James Worth. You had Dwayne Wade. Chris Bosh. Go to Magic. He'll teach you how to lead and even get better. Magic Johnson made scrubs before the HIV thing came out. His last year playing, like, actually playing a full season of basketball, he took folks like Vlade Divac, Eldon Campbell, Tony Smith. These are scrubs, for real, to be honest with you, and took them to the championship game. They did lose to the Bulls. We got cheated. Thank you, David Stern. We did get cheated. But still, he took that team and beat a good Portland Trailblazers team, who Jordan beat in six, but Magic beat them with nobody. Jordan had Scotty. Magic had nobody. So, and then Magic got to the finals, got hurt, and, you know, everything went from there. Jordan won his championship and went from whatever. Go talk to Magic. Magic will help you out. You'll become great. the great in which you are now, you talk to Magic, because your games are similar.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, everyone.
You, Jordan.
I guess everyone. Everyone has their opinion, and you know, about the situation. One interesting thing I wanted to get your opinion on, though.
Go ahead.
Magic Johnson recently came out and said that he won't be a part of their pregame basketball show
Good for the show. Good for the show. And all they need to do is get rid of a couple more folks, and they're good. I love you, Magic. I'm sorry. I love you, but I can't.
Yeah, they said that Michael Wilbon is on the show also. He's not on the show.
Good. I think the ESPN finally got it. You know what I mean?
Well, they said they're turning like the show over to kind of like to Bill Simmons. It's going to be Bill Simmons.
All right, that's
Doug Collins.
They need to get rid of Bill Simmons.
Jalen Rose, and I forgot the Doris Burke.
Okay, they need to get rid of Bill Simmons. All right,
you don't like Bill Simmons?
No, he just doesn't. His voice is throwing me off.
Well, I guess
he sounds boring and dumb. I don't need him.
No, I get from this perspective. It seemed like Bill Simmons was the only one who watched games nightly, every night during the NBA season, you know, and he could talk about a vast variety of topics within the NBA and give you a different perspective on things, whereas the other guys, they were kind of more in tune to just specifically that game that, you know, that ESPN was telecasting.
Yeah, I don't need him.
Yeah, you could deal without Bill Simmons.
I don't need him. I'm going to be real. This is what they need to have, all right? Go back to the old, get Stephen A. Smith, Tim Legler, and Greg Anthony and let it rock. I'm telling you.
You don't like Jalen Rose?
Oh, Jalen could be there. I'm sorry. You can add. You can keep Jalen. Jalen, I have no problem with Jalen Rose. But your man, Steve, like you heard what I said. Jalen, you can stay. Have my man, Greg Anthony, Stephen A. Smith, and Tim Legler. And that show will be good. It won't be as terrible as it is now. Like, I don't want, if it's the NBA Finals, right, is on. Because that's the only time we can get to. If the NBA's Finals on, and it's the post-game stuff. All right, it's over. And I got ESPN with Magic. I love Magic. You know what I mean? It is, but I love Magic. And I got NBA TV, who has Barkley, Kenny Smith in them, because that's what they're going to be on during the finals. I'm going to listen to Kenny Smith and Barkley and company. I'm not listening to no sorry-ass Magic. And they suck on this joint, man. Seriously.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of people have been calling for change with that show. And I guess ESPN finally got the message to higher-ups, the suits. They finally decided to shake up the lineup. But like you said, I think if they had with a lineup of Stephen A. Smith, and to me, Tim Legler is one of the best analysts
really
when it comes to NBA basketball. You know, Stephen A. Smith, Tim Legler,
their personalities. You add
Jalen Rose.
Yeah.
I think that would be an excellent.
Because you add personalities and people who know what they're talking about. Stephen A. Smith is a personality, all right? Greg Anthony is a personality in his own right, but he knows what he's doing. Like, you know what he's saying, excuse me. Tim Leck, like you said, and then you got Jalen Rose. I'm not saying they're going to be better than Barkley and Kenny Smith and company. No, they're not. But at least it's going to be like you can watch it and say, oh, this is a decent show. You know, now it's like it sucks.
Yeah, to me.
NBC, get it back.
To me, the comparison is like, and this is maybe a little bit off base, but it's kind of like watching the NFL Network's morning show versus ESPN. ESPN's morning show sucks.
It does suck.
It's the worst.
And hey, real talk, we're gonna talk about this then. Hey, Chris Berman, man, you're done. Like, you talk about nothing. Like, I sit and listen to you, and I'm like, hey, Trey Wingo, take this dude's job, man. Seriously, take this dude's job.
Yeah, that ESPN NFL morning show is the worst.
Let's go on a tangent. All right, let's go to boxing real quick.
Let's go to boxing. This past Saturday, we had a major welterweight championship fight in Las Vegas. Timothy Bradley versus Juan Manuel Marquez. Timothy Bradley won by 12-round split decision. Did you see the fight?
Yeah, I saw the fight. I saw it online.
Online, yeah.
I can admit that. I saw it online. I don't care. It's Timothy
Pound cake. Yeah. I did the same thing.
It's Timothy Bradley and Juan Marquez. I mean, really? Am I going to be fiending to see this fight? I'll say this. You know, Timothy Bradley had a great game plan, right? But he showed to me why he can never be a pay-per-view boxer. I'm sorry. In my opinion,
He doesn't have it. Well, I've always often compared Timothy Bradley. He reminds me of his style of fighting to Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, he does. Totally.
Just because both of them lead with their heads.
Yeah, and, there you go. See what you just said? See what you just said?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, it just comes out wrong sometimes. But yeah, their style of fighting, they both duck their heads down when they throw their punches, which often leads to them a clash of heads sometimes. And against Juan Manuel Marquez, he fought the type of fight that, you know, anyone who's seen Timothy Bradley fought before, that was his style of fight, which is boxing, getting in, getting out, uses angles, going to the body, then following up with punches with right hands and left hands to the head. Like you said, he's not per se a pay-per-view boxer, but, you know, this does set up an interesting scenario for him down the line, because you could think, if you think about it, two of his last three fights, he's beaten Manny Pacquiao and he's beaten Juan Manuel Marquez, two certified first ballot Hall of Famers. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Manny Pacquiao looks in November when he fights Brandon Rios, and see what direction he goes from there. See if he gets the rematch against Pacquiao to try to prove to everyone that he did beat him, or, you know, he takes a defense against a guy, you know, against Ruslan, or does a rematch against Ruslan Provokhnikov. So,
oh yeah, that dude
actually fights this Saturday.
Yeah,
on HBO.
That's the year. Well, I mean, I'm gonna give him credit when credit's due. I didn't think he can outsmart Marquez, and he did. You know, it always goes back to what people say. I mean, people have said for years in terms of American boxers and the Spanish and the Latin boxers that American boxers give Latin boxers work, lack of a better term, but due to the fact that they can really adapt to that style. Now, did that play a part here? I don't think so. I was just surprised that he outsmarted Marquez. Marquez is one of the smartest boxers in the game, and Timothy Bradley outsmarted him. He frustrated Marquez over and over again. He had a couple shots and got out, even to a point where, you know, he stuck his head out, you know, because he felt confident in the fight. He stuck his head out, speaking to Timothy Bradley, and dared Marquez to hit him, and still was able to shake it and avoid some of these punches. So it just goes back to, you know, what Bradley can go from here. What is going to put him into it, propel him to a level that we can talk about him as a pay-per-view boxer? Because in the grand scheme of things, that's what it's all about. He reminds me of a Winky Wright type dude. Like, Winky Wright was a guy who knocked that, when they gave him an opportunity, showed that he can beat the top boxers in the game. But was he a pay-per-view boxer? No.
I mean, the reason why you don't see as many pay-per-view boxers is because promoters don't actually promote boxers anymore. They think about themselves first, which try to make matches in-house between their fighters. And so ultimately they'll have the better financial gain. And also you have, you know, the networks. You have, you know, some guys fighting on Showtime, some guys fighting on HBO, and, you know, who are contractually bound to either channel. And, you know, it hurts the sport because, you know, a guy like Timothy Bradley, you know, coming off of a fight against Marquez and, you know, two fights ago beating a guy like Manny Pacquiao, and also the exciting fight he had with Ruslan.
He keeps saying beating Manny Pacquiao like that really happened.
I mean, technically in the record books it did.
Didn't happen.
It didn't. It's a W in the record books,
man,
for all intents and purposes.
Son,
you know,
that thing ain't happened.
Well, anyway, you know, it would be interesting, you know, because, you know, next May Floyd Mayweather's fighting, so, you know, a win like this would, you know, if they were both fighting on the same network or under the same promotion house, would maybe potentially put him in a sweepstakes for that fight. But that would never happen. We all know that. Most people know that. Floyd Mayweather will be fighting Amir Khan.
Yeah, I know.
In May.
Which I'm happy to see. I'm glad to see that fight. He's going to beat the bricks out of Amir.
He is. I mean, well, I've always stated that I think physically Amir Khan has the physical tools to give Floyd Mayweather a tough time.
After I saw what he did to Canelo, I don't think he has to worry about.
Well, I mean, they have similar hand speed.
Yeah,
they're both very, very fast with their hands. It's just that I think ultimately Amir Khan will get frustrated when Floyd Mayweather continues to land and he isn't able to land against Mayweather. But I think he has the physical tools to make it an interesting fight. But I just don't think he has the boxing knowledge or the heart to pull it out against him.
All right, real quick. You mentioned Bradley Mayweather saying it won't happen. But do you think down the road it can ever happen?
If Timothy Bradley leaves Top Rank, yeah.
So you think Timothy Bradley can? You think Mayweather would entertain Timothy Bradley?
Why not? I mean,
I don't think the I think the draw.
Robert Guerrero wasn't a draw.
That's true. That's true.
I'm Victor Ortiz wasn't a draw.
That's true. That's, I'm not going. So, I mean, I was thinking maybe, you know, as he was moving up, he was starting to say, well, moving up with, within the contract that he had with Showtime, that he would fight. As he's gone up, he's going to fight particular people. But you know what? You're right. You're right. Because at the same time, Amir Khan is like, a, in terms of money, I guess, is down from Canelo. Is it at this point in time? At this point in time?
Well,
where
I think,
Amir Khan is at now?
Where Amir Khan is now, yeah, he isn't as big. It won't be financially as big of a draw from a pay-per-view standpoint.
Yeah.
But from a global perspective, it'll be a bigger fight because Amir Khan has that UK backing.
That's true.
So, you know, financially, I don't think, you know, you won't get the record-breaking pay-per-view numbers or the record-breaking gate, especially with Amir Khan not really, I'm saying, he didn't really earn the opportunity by going out and fighting the best guy out there like a Devin Alexander in December. If he had fought Devin Alexander and then won in December, and he could bring, you know, a title to the table, and coming off a win, an exciting win against Devin Alexander, I think he would have made it a bigger fight. But just now, for him to just sit out 6 months until he fights Floyd Mayweather, no, it won't be as big of a fight.
All right, well, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back from commercial break, we'll be talking about what my Redskins, how my Redskins disappointed me on Sunday night. I'm still a little annoyed. I almost punched a hole in my wall on a Sunday night.
I thought you were over that.
Nah, really not. I've been trying to. Even told my cousin to leave me alone because I told him in a week I'd find him. You ever seen Taken, the movie?
Yeah.
I felt like Liam Neeson, like when the dude had that phone call, and he was like, I don't know who this is. Like I was going to find him, hunt him down. it was real. Anyways, the Urban Sports in the Eyes Real Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss. Every headline. Blow it all up. 'Cause all that matters is what you do next.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep it coming.
Yeah, Skyler, thanks for that shout out. We appreciate it. But yeah, the Redskins definitely need a doctor. I'm telling you, we need a doctor bad, man. Dr. Trey was right.
Definitely do. But before we get into that, let's do some of these announcements. You can also listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website at www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email Wally at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can also listen to us on the Sports Grid podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is hosted and produced by West Coast Steeler Fan.
Good job, Will T. Appreciate the read. And you keep, you know, mentioning Wally, we tweeting and all that good stuff. Thank you. You keep giving me credit for.
Hey man, I'm so always much. Give you credit for what you do.
Hey man, I appreciate it, man. I really do.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, I never take credit for things that I don't do.
I didn't say
like the blog I didn't write.
I was gonna mention that. I told you not to commit to that stupid time.
Yeah,
man. Will was like, man, I'm gonna have it in 2 days. I was like, dog, don't ever commit. I don't even commit. I wouldn't even commit to have when I'm gonna have my blog out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it didn't happen.
I can't. It's too hard, man.
But yeah, if you listened to the show last week, then you heard a very spirited conversation and debate on just how I felt and Wally felt, and I think that would be suffice. And a blog would only ruin that moment that we had.
That's true, man. You're right. It would. You're right. Good. That's a good save. That's a very good save.
I'm the king of the BS, baby.
I know. I see. Anyway, man, like I said, my skins lost to the Dallas Cowgirls. I mean, Cowboys, 31-16, in a game to me that, you know, if you look at the stats, we had over like 400 yards offense. Cowboys only had about 200 yards of total offense, and we lost this game. Defense showed out. Obviously, you know, people are going to come out. I mean, people are going to state the special teams, and that was the main factor. The special teams, like, is a main cog to why we lost this game. If you look at the scores, how they score?
It's how they score, but I think also, you know, with Keith Burns getting the penalty that he got, that really exacerbated the situation and brought.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking you got
well, no,
a,
I mean,
two, a touchdown, a run back, and then a 90-yard run, both leading one a score, and then you got a 90-yard run.
Yeah, I'm not saying the special teams didn't play into it, but, you know, I was, you know, for the game that Sunday night, I went out to Green Turtle in Crofton, Maryland, watched the game there with our buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Drew kept saying, Wally, I miss you. Wally, I miss you.
Yeah,
hey, dog, come to the game. Hey, you need to watch it. You need to come to the game and watch it with me, man. I miss you, Wally. I was like, dude, this sounds real. You know what? Like, well, don't be calling me out.
I'll say shout out to our bartender, Breezy, because, you know, the blue motorcycles definitely.
Oh, they was hitting?
They was hitting.
Which Green Turtle? The one around his way?
Nah, the one in you went there with us that one time.
Oh, you talking about the one in Crofton, right?
Yeah.
Okay, near. Okay.
Yeah, went there. But it's always interesting to watch a Redskins game at, you know, in that type of setting,
mm-hmm.
just because emotions really fly from one gamut to the next one, depending on, you know, how the Redskins are playing. And to me, the overall consensus from a lot of people there was the Shanahan show has to go.
Oh, really? Already?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were upset, you know, they were like, oh, he, you know, he's regressed from one season to the next season.
Who's regressed?
They feel the coaching staff and their ability to call a game has regressed from past season to this season once people have kind of figured out what they're trying to do offensively with the read option and, you know, also with Robert Griffin III not being 100%. From a standpoint of his knee, and also them not running the ball with Alfred Morris enough.
Yeah, he didn't touch the ball enough. And we're talking about a guy who had, I think, over 80 yards, only 16 carries. Should have definitely touched the ball more. At least, like we were saying last week, let's take some of the pressure off RG3. Let's give the ball to Roy Helu and Alfred Morris and just start pounding a depleted defensive line, the Dallas Cowboys. We didn't take advantage of it. DeMarcus Ware came out the game. They had a lot of D linemen come out the game because of injury. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of play calling, to be honest with you. Wasn't a fan of, look, for instance, we're down two scores. Why are we not running no huddle? We're down two scores with 8 minutes left. That makes no sense. What is this? To me, that's like waving a white flag. You're like, I give up, game over. Like, that's a sign of a coach that quit. And if you show me that, and I don't care what excuse you give me on a press conference, it sounds stupid. Like, no huddle. You did no huddle in the beginning of the game and scored. Like, why can't you do a no huddle with 8 minutes left?
Fair point. One thing that I didn't understand was when the Redskins were in the red zone, I think it was their first drive.
Yeah.
And on the quarterback draw, Will Montgomery tries to cut.
You talking about third down.
Yeah.
Third and goal.
Yeah. Why does Will Montgomery
because
try to
sucks.
Cut Sean Lee? You have a 60-pound advantage
stupid,
on Sean
man.
Lee.
Stupid.
Why not just either plow him to the ground or just kind of shade him?
Do you want to know the truth? You want to hear the politically correct answer?
Okay, give it to us.
The truth is that Will Montgomery is soft, and Shanahan loves soft linemen. The only person that's tough on that
Pillsbury Doso?
Yeah, soft. Soft. Like, you know, I'm dead serious. Like, the only dude that's tough on the line that shows any toughness is Trent Williams. That's the only person that's tough on the line who has a mean streak on the line. Everybody else is soft. I like Chester, but I mean, if you look at it, he likes small
athletic
linemen. And you got Will Montgomery, he's soft. Corey Littensteiger is soft. And I was saying a couple years ago, that about Shanahan, you in the NFC East. I'm gonna be real with you in the NFC East. This is not the AFC West. You see dogs on the D line, seriously, in the NFC East. Even though it sucks as a winning division right now, but mm-hmm. in terms of like the D line, you see dogs. You see big dudes who out there pushing back and putting pressure on the quarterback. And these guys, if you look at it for the last couple of throughout the season so far, from this small little sample. The interior O-line is getting pushed back easily.
Mm. All right. Interesting stat that I came across while I was doing research for the show.
Okay, good job.
Redskins offense averages 400 yards a game and officially in the top 10 now. But this team is 1-4?
Yeah, but
hasn't scored many points during the first quarter. So why do you think that the translation into a team offensively being in the top 10 hasn't resulted in points on the scoreboard during the first half?
Because numbers lie.
True.
Numbers lie. You get most of the, if we're gonna be honest with the whole situation, most of those numbers were inflated because we were being blown out in the second half and we're like throwing the ball left to right, so we're putting up yardage. That doesn't mean anything. In the first half, that's what it's all about. If you're not scoring in the first half in these games, that's when you, to me, an indication in how competitive the game is anyway. If you're not doing anything within that in that situation, then that's your offense. That's your real offense. If you're not scoring touchdowns in the first half, then what are you doing?
Another point could be made that the team isn't making the necessarily in-game adjustments.
They're
waiting until the halftime to make the adjustments from an offensive and defensive standpoint.
They're not making adjustments, period. They're not waiting. They're not making adjustments, period. This is not Joe Gibbs' teams of the 80s and 90s.
I think people, when you mentioned Joe Gibbs, I think people don't really have the appreciation for what Joe Gibbs was able to do.
In the second turnaround?
Yeah, in the second turnaround. No, just from his career coaching period, from making adjustments during halftime.
Definitely. Fans are spoiled over here, to be honest with you. They're spoiled because anytime you listen to any local radio station or any local TV show that's covering the Washington Redskins, you know, fans come out and say, well, yeah, we don't make in-game adjustments. You know what? We're spoiled because in the early 90s and late 80s in the 80s when Joe Gibbs took over this Redskins team, that was something that the Redskins were known for, like making adjustments at halftime and coming out with fire and passion and a better game plan.
Oh, you're talking about fans during after the game. Oh. Some of you Redskins fans on some of these call-in radio shows, you are too overly emotional. Some of you sound like you're about to kill yourself.
What you mean?
I understand. I think that people aren't able to take a step back and take perspective on what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, after a loss, it's just...
It hurts, man.
It hurts. It does hurt, but you have to have perspective. You have to have perspective on it.
Like, all right, be honest with you, man. It hurts, all right? Losing the Cowboys does not feel good, all right? I hear all this stupid crap constantly, man, and it just doesn't feel good, all right? It sucks. It's appalling. And I don't think the Shanahan's understand what Cowboys week means. Seriously, like you'll see stuff. He'll say I came in week, you know, my first year, didn't understand the importance of it. After every year has gotten bigger. You don't coach like this game is life and death. Joe Gibbs, even on his second, when he came back for the second time, he understood what this game meant, and he was supposedly, the game passed him by. Dude, you've been around in this game. Man up.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes to the point that I was making last week, that is it just that in this area it's a huge game, and I know nationally it doesn't have the allure that it once had.
Yeah, it doesn't nationally.
Because outside of the game last season's game, they haven't really played from where anything was really on the line.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, you know, that brings to the point, is it just in this area it's a huge game, or is it in Dallas
it
also?
It is. My boys in Texas, yeah. My boys in Texas tell me it's the same thing. My man, Coach said the same thing. It's big down there. My boys went down there to the Dallas game. It's big down there. It's big. It's big all the way around. No one wants to lose. They don't want to lose. You don't want to lose to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys don't want to lose to us. It's a rivalry in the truest sense. I'm not saying it's Duke Carolina, but it's big, man. It's big. I don't like Dallas. All right. I like some people Coach. They're cool, but I don't like Dallas. I don't like what they stand for. I don't like losing to Jerry Jones and his facelift. It's ridiculous, and it must end. Losing must end. I'm telling you this, Will. Next year, I'm going to Dallas, and I'm pissing on the star. I am pissing on the star.
So you're
going to
do what T.O. did when he was...
No. T.O. didn't piss on the star. I'm talking about pissing on the star.
So you're gonna run out. During the intermission, and you're gonna piss on the star.
No, my goal is to get there before the game starts. Piss on the star.
So you're gonna Instagram it.
And Instagram it. I'm gonna piss on the star.
Okay,
man.
That's very interesting. So you heard him, Dallas security. You know, if you see this guy, see a picture of this guy.
Find me, son. I'm real. Pissing on the star.
All right. Let's kind of put this Dallas loss in the rear view, and let's look on to this week.
No, hold on real quick, because there's stuff on Twitter. There's some stuff on Twitter. But go, I mean, hold on. I was, real quick, thoughts on RG3's play, period, though, in the game.
I think that he's starting to – I think that he's realizing that he needs to run to use his legs to set up everything else for this offense. And we said that a good quarterback play masks other deficiencies on your team. All you have to do is look at Denver. Look at what Peyton Manning is doing. That team, you know, missing their starting Pro Bowl, All-Pro left tackle. The running game hasn't ran off a bunch of yards. Defense isn't the best, but the way he's playing and he's eating up the clock is helping to shield a lot of things for that team. So I think what Robert Griffin III is learning, that he has to use his legs to overcome the obstacles that they have on the offensive line, specifically right tackle and some of the deficiencies they have up the middle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it felt good to see him run. It sounds good. You know, he ran some long ones. I think he had over 77 yards. He has like 77 yards, something like that. So it was good to see him run. I'm still having issues with his accuracy. That is not coming around. And honestly, the IQ of playing the quarterback position is just not where it was last season. Not to say he can't do it. I know he can do it. I'm just saying from last season, it's not the same.
Yeah, he's not playing it at the level. And that may be due to the injury, or that may be due to the different look. Maybe teams are changing up the looks that they're giving them. So, you know.
So, but, no, I agree. I mean, I agree. I agree that it could be the injury. But what I was happy with is that he balled. Like, in terms of, like, he wasn't worried about his knee. Like, he was like, all right, I'm about to go. I'm going to play football the way out. The way I need to play football. I can't be worried about, oh, this, that, and the other. I'm going to just play football, and I'm glad he did that. But also, real quick, what in this game? What was the, I guess, the biggest issue in your mind with the Ravens and Cowboy games? You said it wasn't special teams.
Special teams definitely led to two big scores, but I'll say they didn't eat up the clock enough with Alfred Morse, which, and you know, what people want. Don't really, you know, what they don't mention is during that 7-game winning streak, Alfred Morris was very key to the team's success, you know, keeping the other team's offense off the field and eating up the clock, because he, you know, he's one of those guys that the more carries he gets, the stronger he gets, and the more he can wear out a defense.
So I had the same question on Facebook, our Facebook page, the Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. My man Keith Stover said, I saw bad tackling, special teams included, no separation from the wide receivers, drop passes and too many penalties. Alfred Morris dropped the pass in the red zone. First possession cost you guys a touchdown. Good response, Keith. Yeah, Alfred Morris, that drop pass annoyed the fudge out of me. My man Ron, Big Ron said, lack of discipline and physicality. My man Thomas Carroll said play calling. And my man George Templeton has like a year's supply of stuff. He said penalties, offense, defense, and special teams. No one escaped the referee's attentions. I know, right? He said, how in the name of all that, that's reasonable to do? I mean, do you get an illegal motion penalty on a freaking punt? I'm not going to read all of it, but yeah. He's right about that. I mean, the referees annoyed me. I felt like the referees were just headhunting for the Washington Redskins. I know it sounds like a fan thing to say.
Yeah, a lot of fans felt that way Sunday. Like the Green Turtle.
Like the what's the name?
The blocking to the
dude barely touched him. And I because I remember a Redskin game where one dude threw our man at the ball, and then they said, okay, the ball was live. It was a fumble. So it was like there's. He barely touched it, but go ahead. What you about to say, man?
I'll save this for my three things we learned.
All right, but let me go on Twitter real quick now.
Okay.
All right, real quick. But that would annoy me, because on that play, I'm like, as being a fan, I'm obviously biased. I'm a fan, but I look at the play, I'm like, I remember vividly, like we got thrown to one on special teams like a couple years ago. I can't remember the actual game, and they called it a fumble. And this dude, that ball was going to hit him regardless. That's the thing that annoyed him. The ball was going to hit dude regardless. And it was, if you're going to really be real, like, the ball was going to hit him regardless.
That point could definitely be made.
You didn't think so?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess from the referee's perspective, he had his back turned. Uh-huh. And he was getting blocked into, you know, even though he wasn't fully engaged in the block. But, you know, the perspective could be taken that he had his back turned, and even the slightest push may have altered the direction of him, you know, the position of him getting blocked into the ball.
Hey, man. All right, anyway, on Twitter, man, at Robert_Star13 said, real simple, lack of blown calls by the refs, RG3's accuracy, more options, no deep passes down the field, need to run more. At Comedy K said, tackling, special teams, play calling, and that stupid sculpture. No, I didn't get that. What's the sculpture?
I have no idea what sculpture he's talking about.
Okay, and also my man at Nick DiCarlo 17, bad clock management by Shanahan. Oh yeah, that was terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
His in-game clock management, and I guess that, you know, from my understanding, Danny Smith, the former special teams coach, helped him with some of that over the while he was here. But you could definitely tell that Danny Smith not being there this year is having an effect on Mike Shanahan's ability to manage the clock during game. And, you know, and I guess kind of in Shanahan's defense, he has a lot going on that he has to oversee and manage. But clock management is essential. You know, the great coaches, you know, like a Bill Belichick, they always know or are aware of every situation, and they've already played out multiple scenarios in their mind when it comes to using their timeouts.
Is it an old thing? Because Joe Gibbs had the same situation, same issue.
No, because Andy Reid kind of in Philadelphia, he kind of struggled with his clock management also. So I don't think it's necessarily an old thing. I think that maybe those guys are really engaged into the game, and that's one thing that kind of slips their mind because they're trying to set things up and trying to, you know, think about other things that don't include managing the clock and their timeouts.
All right, real quick, and my man at Brandon Letta said we lost. I guess that's what the issue. We just lost. Yeah, I mean, it was a hard. It was a depressing game. I appreciate all the comments on Twitter and Facebook. But like, Will, you want to go to the next topic?
No, you know, like I was saying, putting this loss kind of in the rear view and paying attention to this coming Sunday because you have a tough one against Chicago coming into town. You know, Brandon Marshall, anyone who saw the Thursday night game, who was red hot against the New York Giants, Jay Cutler, he's playing at a consistent level that we haven't really seen from him in a while.
Close enough. I ain't saying he's like lights out.
I'm not saying he's lights out, but he's definitely playing at a consistent level, not forcing a lot of turnovers like he had previously.
Detroit, he was throwing picks.
Against Detroit, that's because Detroit knew their calls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people saying. The D-tackle who went to Detroit gave them a lot of their calls. But, you know, Jay Cutler spreading the ball out. He has weapons that are, you know, actually, you know, some Martellus Bennett and Alshon Jeffrey, Michael Bush, and Matt Forte. So he has a lot of weapons. He's really spreading it around. And that defense, they always force turnovers. So a tough one for the Redskins coming Sunday. What do you think of some of the keys?
Just stop. Brandon, I mean, it's going to be a problem with Brandon Marshall. Not just Brandon Marshall. Alshon Jeffries is a dog. I mean, I love Alshon Jeffries. I think he's one of the best up-and-coming wide receivers we have in the NFL. I say we like I'm in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, there is an NFL. But I don't really – I'm not really concerned with this team, Chicago. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, so you're going on record that it's going to be a blowout by the Redskins?
No, I won't say a blowout, but it's not like I'm concerned. Like, I'm playing the Denver Broncos. That's like the week after. You know what? That's what I want to say too. Also, football players who say they don't look ahead are liars, and y'all are some BSers. Like, you have to beat Chicago. Like, it's a must because you're going to lose the Broncos. All right, I'm gonna be on the record. I'm a diehard Skin fan. I'm gonna be real with y'all. We're losing to the Broncos. All right, let it be known. You heard it here. Don't be in denial. Don't be like, oh, Redskin Nation, we're going to take the Broncos. No, we're going to lose to the Broncos. Like, it's not – like, I look ahead. I don't do that BS state. I'm a fan. I can look ahead. I don't even care. We're going to lose to the Broncos. We're going to Denver. It's not like there's an inkling of hope. They're not coming here. We're going over there. We're going to the altitude. Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks who ever lived. I love that the defense has improved. But we're going to lose to the Broncos. Now let me go to what Will's referring to, this week's game. I don't fear Chicago. I think Jay Cutler is an interception ready to happen. D'Angelo will get a pick. And big ups to D'Angelo Hall. I've been very critical of D'Angelo Hall, but he has played cornerback at a high level this season so far.
Another guy you've been critical of because of his weight, Josh Wilson, actually played decently.
He has been decent. Like, Josh Wilson, I know. Let me apologize to Josh Wilson. Will, I appreciate you referring, you know, actually talking about Josh Wilson. Josh Wilson has played well.
I guess I called him the Khalid El-Amin of cornerbacks, didn't he?
Yeah, I said he's the fat cornerback that shouldn't exist. Like, fat cornerbacks don't exist. Like, who's a fat cornerback? But I can admit when I'm wrong. Josh Wilson, the fat cornerback that he is, has played well. I mean, he's the Khalid El-Amin of cornerbacks. Has played well. I mean, geez. I mean, he's actually been good ever since we put him back in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. As it being a starter, you know, Amerson hasn't, you know, done what they thought
Amerson,
he would do.
Amerson, who was knocked out of the game.
Yeah, knocked out of the game, which a hit that was tied to the head, I guess. Can't even help it, man. So, I mean, it should be illegal anyway. It was a legal hit to me. It was an illegal hit to me anyway. But, yeah, Josh Wilson has played well. Hopefully, he continue playing well. It's still going to be a hard matchup because these are two wide receivers that are tall. So you're going to have D'Angelo probably on Brandon Marshall and Josh Wilson on Alshon Jeffries.
Very physical wide receivers.
Yeah, very physical wide receivers. And I do think it's a mismatch. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's a mismatch.
Oh, okay. So you clearly stated this is a game that you think that the Redskins can win.
Yeah.
If they get this win, do you think – are they still – is there still hopes for the P word, playoffs?
Well – that's up to the division. But I'm going to say, after losing the Cowboys game, and this is how I feel now, I think the season's over, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. But could this game bring hope for me? Yeah. The NFL's a week-to-week thing. And as a Redskin fan, we're week-to-week people, to be honest with you. Right now, the world, it seems like the season's over right now. We beat Chicago, and we're 2-4. It looks good again. But, again, I'm not looking at Denver at that time. Right there, I'm happy at the moment. But then I come back to reality and know we're going to play Denver. That's 2-5. 2-5 doesn't look good, all right? 2-5 does not look good. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But if we lose this game, yeah, season is definitely over. To me, the Redskins should look at the Cowboys game as a must-win. They should have looked at that and was like, we had to win this game.
Okay, all right. You've gone out on a limb, said this is a game that they'll win. What are the keys to them to win?
Well, it's easy. Run Alfred Morris. Run Roy Helu, RG3. Get back. Like, I'm not talking like you to me, this is stage one. I don't care the first four games was crap to me. This is stage one. You were playing football like you just weren't worried about anything. You played football in terms of running. Now it's time to take what you did against the Cowboys with running and get back to RG3 throwing the ball. Like, once you get to that dude throwing the ball, accuracy, I mean, like, timing, everything. Now, everybody said that he's improved and going through his reasons, progression, but to me, his pocket awareness needs to improve. I mean, that sack he took against the Cowboys was ridiculous. He had time in the pocket to throw the ball away, and it's as if he just was just ignoring a pass rush. So for RG3, get your pocket awareness together and just take it to the next level now. All right, it's time to be that accurate passer that you were last year, because he was an accurate passer to me last year.
Yeah. My keys for the Redskins to have a chance to pull out this game, I think they need to stretch the field vertically, which we didn't see against Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, didn't try.
And also, they have to be very careful with the ball. This is a Chicago Bears defense that thrives off creating scoring opportunities off of fumbles and picks. So, you know, running backs, Robert Griffin III, when you're running the ball, got to tuck it in. Know that if the first guy tries to keep you up, there's going to be someone
that's
who's
true.
Coming in and is going to try to rip the ball from you, because that's what they do. They stand you up, the Chicago Bears, they stand you up, and the second guy either punches or tries to rip the ball out. And also, you got to stretch the field. Aldrick Robertson, you know, it seems like ever since that drop pass in the end zone against Detroit, we haven't heard from the guy. So
right.
that's a guy they need to get in the slot or get on the outside to stretch the field against the Chicago Bears defense.
And to add to that, start putting threats on the field. All right, I mean, let me be real with this. Let me say this easily. Like, I know this kid is local and people they like him, but Josh Morgan is not a threat. You put him in the game, You're limiting what this team could do offensively. Like, that's too much pressure on Pierre Garçon. All right, that's putting way too much. You got to play Leonard Hankerson. You got to play your best playmakers as wide receivers. Even if whatever it is, you got to play your best playmakers. You got to play Hankerson, Hankerson, Garçon, Santana, And Audrick Robinson, he gets open. Now, can he catch is a whole different situation, but he gets open deep. You got to start utilizing Fred Davis. Where you at, man? Use Fred Davis. Two tight end sets. You got to go ahead and use. You see, Jordan Reed's a monster. He can't be stopped. You use Fred Davis too on the other side. Though I've heard something about Fred Davis, though. I heard what's potentially that? He might have failed another weed test. That's why he's not playing. I got it from a source.
I mean, that's all.
It's that breaking could be on the Urban Sports Team. It's a source. Someone told me, a little bird in my ear told me, that dude failed another drug test.
Well, you know, anything's possible, and if it is true, you know, you heard it here first. If it's false, then, you know, we just heard it through the streets.
You can't stay away from weed. It's an issue, son. Weed is not even addictive. Never mind, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, you mentioned an interesting name, Jordan Reed. To me, you know, because he came from Florida and there was another tight end, you know, from Florida who, like,
are we trying to call him McKellar now?
I'm not calling him McKellar. I'm just saying that he plays a little bit like Aaron Hernandez to me.
Oh.
Their games are very similar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Their games are very similar.
Speed tight ends who can run routes and do the damn
thing. You can line up in multiple positions, in the X position, the Y position, in line, offline, and make plays for you.
You're a Florida boy. If you're a tight, you're a Florida boy. Florida boys got speed, so that's one thing you can utilize with them. A Florida boy, I mean going to the University of Florida. They only get guys with speed.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more NFL, the Ravens specifically, and, you know, we'll have our usual three things you learned and three things you need to know.
It's the Urban Sports Team, the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi. This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm gonna smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Taking over something. Bounce, 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 bounce. Let's take on, champ. Bounce. Hey, hey. Look, Shotty got a big old butt. Bounce. Oh, yeah. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Shotty got a big old butt. Bounce. Oh, yeah. Bounce. This is Josh Morgan from the Washington Bearskins, and you're listening to Eyes Radio.
Yeah, it's the Urban Sports on the Eyes Real Network. That's Josh Morgan from Washington Redskins giving the radio station a big shout out.
Shout out after you trashed him?
I didn't trash him. I stated the truth.
Okay.
Why is this, the truth such known as bashing? Jeez, Will.
It's just your opinion.
Yeah, Lord.
One personal opinion.
Lord. But I will say this, though. You know, I mean, the song that came in while Clapper joint, you know, it's like old now. I love that song.
I love it too.
Yeah, it's a great song. Man.
Great song.
It's a strip club song.
Subject matter.
It's a strip club song.
Yeah.
You could tell.
It is.
I haven't heard it in a strip club yet, but I'm waiting for it. Actually, take that back. I have. I actually have.
All right. You can also listen to our show on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Apple G's radio show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach and lovely Vivian.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, like Will said, actually, before the break, but we're going to talk about some Baltimore Ravens stuff. The Ravens lost to the Packers 19-17. Did you watch the game?
I watched some of the game. Didn't get a chance to watch all of the game. It's still offensively, to me, even though they gave, and I'll go back to it, you know, and by the way, this was the game that featured the two highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. The Ravens still don't have a identity offensively. You don't know if this team wants to pound you with Ray Rice, or do they want to put the game on Joe Flacco's shoulder and let Joe Flacco go out there and win the game. And I guess maybe that's something that can they can play to their advantage, because teams have to scheme and have to plan for either one of those ways that the Ravens can attack you. But it was a game that was fully in their grasp, but they just couldn't make enough plays to win the game. And also with Eddie Lacy coming in,
man,
and
hit a one mean spin move too.
Yeah, in the hole too.
Yeah.
Spin move in the hole.
Dang, what's going on, man?
I don't know.
Dang, spin move in the hole, son.
I don't know. I just gotta stop.
We gotta stop, man. It's just both of us, dog. We gotta stop.
We really do. But Eddie Lacy had his best game as a pro so far. He had 122 yards. He was that battering ram that that they've been missing. That the Green Bay Packers have been missing. And it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate him in their game plan going forward, because, you know, he'll never see an 8-man front with Aaron Rodgers.
No, never.
So that does open up a lot of running lanes for him, for Eddie Lacy. But back to the Ravens. Jacoby Jones finally suited up and played.
He played well, too.
He played well. But just this team, they just haven't. I don't know, they're missing something, and maybe it's that leadership from Ed Reed and Ray Lewis that they had last year, but I can't really put my finger on it, but this team is missing something, and they'll need that little bit of something if they want to contend for that AFC North title again, because the AFC North is really within their grasp. No team has really run away with it. Cincinnati hasn't shown talent, consistency. Yeah.
Most talent, but not having shown the consistency. Yeah. I agree with you. For me, what the Ravens are missing is just a real identity, what they want to do to win games. Is it, okay, do we want to rely on Joe Flacco, or do we want to rely on Ray Rice? Even though, it may not work either way, but you have to have an identity. You have to know what you want to be. Or do you want to be a defensive team, period? The team that we saw win the Super Bowl, not last season, but like in 2000, don't make mistakes and let the defense, you know, run the ship. They don't know what, when you look at the Ravens, what is it that, when you watch the Ravens, like, what is it? Like, what do you see? You don't see, okay, they're a running team. No, not really. They're a passing team. No, not really. They're a good defensive team. Yeah, that's probably, they're a decent defensive team, but it's not a dominant defense. So you don't know, they don't have an identity. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, obviously, how I look at the Ravens, to me, they're better suited when Ray Rice is featured. I don't care if he's not doing well, but you have to feature your stud. It's like Adrian Peterson. I'm not saying he's as good as Adrian Peterson, but say Adrian Peterson was struggling against Minnesota. Do you think Minnesota would go away from Adrian Peterson?
Of course not.
Because they're cash cow. They're waiting for him to pop that big run. All right. They're waiting for him to get that big run. So I'm just saying, like, that's what it is. You know, so when you look at the Ravens, to me, it's the identity thing. Like, what is it?
And I guess part of it, that identity has to do with that offensive line. And the offensive line hasn't played to the levels that they've played to, specifically last year during their Super Bowl stretch run, during their run to the Super Bowl. You know, Brian, as we all can recall, Brian McKinney played lights out this past Sunday. I don't even think Brian McKinney started. I think they started Monroe at left tackle, who subsequently was injured and went out of the game. Only person that's playing to a level that they played at a consistently level anyway is Marshall Yonder.
Yeah.
The right guard.
We tried to get him a couple years ago.
Yeah. Michael Orr isn't playing at the level that he played at previously at right tackle. And it'll be interesting to see how this team goes, how they handle the stretch run. Like we said, Cincinnati surely isn't running away with the division. Cleveland Browns lost another game, and the Pittsburgh Steelers finally got their first win. Yeah. So no one's running away with this division. It's just that the Ravens have to decide exactly who and what they are and how they're going to get it done from an offensive standpoint.
So you would say that this team is inconsistent because of the offensive line?
The main thing? I guess I would go out and say that, because of, you know, the offensive line is a is a huge part of what not only with John, but the Harbaugh brothers want to do, period. They want big, nasty offensive linemen that are road runners, that are road graders, that'll run you over. And this Baltimore Ravens offensive line just isn't firing off the ball and isn't as explosive as they were last year. And opening up the holes for Ray Rice, running lanes for Ray Rice. Ray Rice. I'm not going to be quiet. Opening up the running lanes for Ray Rice and protecting Joe Flacco like they did last year.
I'm sorry. Hey, man. Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, to a certain extent, the O-line has definitely been one part of the problem. And to me, I think because you paid Joe Flacco this amount of money, you expect him to be you're going to coach him to be the leader of this team and be featured. Because when you pay somebody that much, you're not paying him to hand the ball off. And that's also, I think, plays a part in our identity. This team is better suited with Ray Rice touching the ball. But you, dang, man, really, Wally? With Ray Rice, you know, carrying the load. And he ain't doing that. He can't even... He can't even do that, you know what I mean? Because, you know, due to the money situation with Flacco. So Flacco has to be featured. But this team, to me, I think once they get mean, and I think that's what you're referring to, Will, once they get mean on the O-line side of the ball, they'll be all right. All
right. We talked about the offense. Let's talk about the defense. Are you surprised at how well the defense is playing?
Actually, after, you know, initially I thought the defense would be fine. After the Denver Broncos game, then it was like horrible to me, and I was like, "Oh, they're gonna miss Ray, Ed Reed, and Ray Lewis." But no, not really. To a certain extent, what I'm seeing now is what I expected before the season, and this team is, you know, played well. I do think, like I told you earlier, I think they'd be better suited starting Huff. I think Huff is on the bench for I forgot his name, but he, you know, he's an African brother. But
but Obadiah.
No, it's not even close. It's like okay. Hedebo. I'm sorry, Hedebo. There you go, Hedebo. So he's starting. I mean, I think he'd be better off in terms of playing the passing game. Huff would be better suited starting. Him and Elam would be good to me. He's a 1-2 punch in the back end. But it's not happening. Obviously, like what Hedebo is doing. So, you know, other than that, the defense is fine. I mean, we talked about it last week. Doomerville and Suggs is a monster off the ends, and you know about what Nada can do. So, and then Upshaw's like he's coming to his own. So this defense is coming after it.
All right, down in Washington, it was rivalry week for the Washington football team. Up in Baltimore,
Washington football team.
Yeah, Washington football team. Still on that. Hey, man, we'll be on it.
I did some research on that, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right. Up in Baltimore is rivalry week because the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team that they absolutely loathe, they hate, is coming to town. Are they playing the Steelers? Because the Steelers got that first win, which, you know, we know could potentially propel them and, you know, help them go on the run. Are they playing the Ravens at just the right time?
Yeah, I think so. This is an inconsistent Ravens team that, to me, it offensively isn't tough right now because of that O-line. They're not tough. What the Steelers did in against the Jets, against a tough Jets team, I mean, because they're tough. Like, that defensive front is tough. That offensive line wants to be tough. But Rex Ryan wants a tough offensive line and tough defensive line. And they went in and pretty much whooped up on them. So how I look at it is like, all right, this team is getting that toughness back. The Steelers are getting that toughness back. Now they're going and playing the Baltimore Ravens team that, you know, we know from like a couple years ago, like prior to this season, they were tough. Like, that O-line was tough. They played mean. This team isn't playing mean enough. And I think that favors the Steelers right now.
I think there's one person that kind of ignited this whole thing for the Steelers, and that's LaDainian Bell, the running back, rookie running back from Michigan State. No, I just think his presence makes it.
I heard already.
I mean, even against the Jets, I think he made a difference in that for that team while he was in the game.
You like that? You think he's that good?
No, I just think that he could do from a running back.
I hate Michigan State running backs, man.
No, I just think for what he can do as a running back, and you know, it's kind of what Duckett, they were looking for.
Fat Fudger Duckett and what's it, Le'Veon Bell? That's what you're talking about, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
Le'Veon Bell is. Okay. I mean, he was okay. I mean, he did a decent job. I mean, they hyped him up so hard after – they hyped him up so hard. That's not even good either. All right. All right, they hyped him up to a point where, like, his first game, it was like throwing. He had like 50 some odd yards. He didn't get 100 yards. He had two touchdowns and like 50 yards or whatever. I mean, I think they're happy. He brings excitement to the team. I'll say that much. But at the same time, I just think this team is, I still think this Pittsburgh Steelers team is just tougher right now. And even in losses, I just feel like this team just ain't tough.
Just isn't tough.
Ain't tough.
So what are the keys for the Ravens victory?
That's a good question. For the Ravens, they just gonna have to out-muscle them. That running game has to go. I'll say this. The Jets showed some things. They can run. You can run on the Steelers defense. They showed that when they played them. So they're gonna have to establish Ray Rice. That's important. That's number one. They have to establish Ray Rice. If they can establish Ray Rice, this team could definitely do some things. But if they don't, they're gonna lose. You can't put it in the hands of Flacco because Troy Polamalu is back to Pro Bowl level. If you've seen him play, he's back to Pro Bowl level.
Yeah, that hit he put on Stephen Hill was crazy. Did you see that hit?
Oh, yeah, when he knocked him out?
Yeah.
When he knocked him out?
Oh, that was a crazy hit. But the key for the Ravens is they have to protect that offensive line. You know, Dick LeBeau, we all know that he's the master of the zone blitz, and he'll blitz from anywhere. Send two or three guys from multiple directions. So the Ravens offensive line needs to pick up the blitz. And also Joe Flacco can't stand back there like a statue. He has to make quick decisions and be very accurate in delivering the ball to his wide receivers.
Okay. Yeah, my homie Yada said Flacco was paid for winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, I know, man. That dude, he's paid for winning the Super Bowl, but this was one of the most overrated dudes to ever get paid in life. I mean, that's like Trent Dilfer getting paid. He's been a Trent Dilfer, but you get my point, though, right? You know what I mean? Like, Trent Dilfer getting paid is ridiculous. But go ahead. What's my bad?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Oh, we're talking about keys to victory? I lost track.
Yeah. We've already established the keys to victory, yeah.
So where are we at now?
We're going to Denver. We're talking about the Denver Broncos.
Good,
Von Miller. Miller is making his return.
Hey, good save.
Thank you. That's what we're here. That's what we're team for, man. Von Miller is officially off of his six-game suspension. He's coming back.
The beast, man.
So what does he do for that defense?
You unleash the beast.
Unleash the beast.
Unleash the beast, man. We had him docile. Now he's ready. You unleash the beast, man. That dude about to go. I feel bad for Andrew Luck. I mean, the Colts defense Colts offensive line is already giving up enough sacks. Andrew Luck doesn't, you know, he's not really protected anyway. You unleash this beast. Now you're going to see the real Denver Broncos defense. You got Champ.
He just called
me. Yeah, I know, right? Why did you call me during the show?
I don't know.
Like, we were doing the show. Like, why would you call me during the show?
He called me, too.
It must have been a comment. He must be listening to the show or something.
I guess so.
Oh, I got to text him.
No, I think what happens is, you know, clearly the Denver Broncos have their captain, the best player on their offense, Peyton Manning, who's setting the example and leading the way for them. Von Miller, he's the best player on that defense, and he's going to bring a certain energy and a certain level of productivity that they haven't had, you know, especially coming off the end and getting to the quarterback. You know, no matter what, even though he was been suspended for six games for trying to beat a drug test, you still can't take away what he produced the first 2 years of the league.
I can put you on the show real quick. But you wouldn't hear him, though. But I can hear him.
Oh, okay.
you want to hear him on the show?
You can.
Hey, I told you to call in real quick. But hold on. Let me try to get you to call in real quick. Von Miller. Like I said, Von Miller's coming back. You got Champ Bailey with him. So you got those two back. Now you're going to see the real Denver Broncos defense. And then, you got Dominique Rodgers-Camardi playing at a high level. So you got Dominique Rodgers-Camardi with Champ Bailey. Now you can move, what's the dude's name? The young dude from, I think he went to Florida State. The cornerback. Not Harris, because Harris is the
Carter.
Other. Carter. Yeah, you got Carter. Now Carter can play the slot with Harris. Now the secondary is even more improved, period. So this team has an opportunity to do some dangerous things. And we always know a pass rush helps the back end in the secondary.
Yeah, we essentially, you know, what Von Miller will be able to do is kind of what Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney were able to do when Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis, which is just tee off on a quarterback because they'll be playing with a lead. So he'll be able to just rush the quarterback and accumulate sacks and hopefully create turnovers for that team. But let's talk about Josh Freeman in Minnesota. He was recently signed. He was signed like one or 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman. Yeah.
He sat out Sunday's blowout against the Carolina Panthers against the Carolina Panthers with Matt Castle looking horrible.
Yeah.
Do you think now is the time for them to pull the trigger and to get him into the lineup?
Yeah, definitely. He's Matt Castle. He's Matt Castle. I mean, you know what I mean? Matt Castle ain't nobody. Ain't nobody special. He sucks. We talk about Matt Castle, man. All right. It's like, let me like talk like Allen Iverson real quick. Matt Castle? We talking about Matt Castle, man.
Matt Castle did help lead the New England Patriots to an 11-5 record one time.
Oh, with who on that team?
With Bill Belichick as the coach.
And Randy Moss. Oh, Jewish just called us right now. Hold on. Look at Jewish. Poppin' Jewels.
What's up?
You on the Urban Sports Team, man? What's good, man?
What's going on? What's going on with y'all?
Fine, man. We good. He said, what's going on? What's going on with y'all?
Not much. Man, you said you're doing the show.
Man. What's the topic of the day?
What's the topic of the day? Man, we talking right now. We talking about Josh Freeman.
You know Josh Freeman.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, and you calling the show while we actually doing our thing. I mean, so what you had to say? Is it something special or something?
No. I was just going to call and see how y'all was doing. I haven't talked to y'all in a while.
He said he wanted to call us.
You know, I got a lot to say about them scans.
You missed the segment, dude. That was like 20 minutes ago.
Obviously.
Oh, man, listening. I missed it.
See, there, he not listening to us live. You know what I mean? This dude is not the best friend in the world, man. Seriously. Like, he's supposed to be my best friend, best man at his wedding and everything. He just carried me and not even listen to the show. It sucks, man.
Nah.
Where's the love, man?
I didn't even like that,
where's the love at, man? We supposed to be homies for life, man, since, like, ninth grade. Eleanor Roosevelt, man. You know what I'm saying?
Eleanor Roosevelt, man. There you Roosevelt. Go. Eleanor Roosevelt,
Court Plaza. Court Plaza with the UMS together, man. Dang, dude. You going to carry me? Shoot.
Nah. No, sir. Not, sir. Well, Urban Sports saying shout out to y'all. Y'all doing y'all thing. I don't really got much to say about Josh Freeman right now. I wanted to tune in on my skins, which I already talked about it. So. All right,
man. But, hey, thanks for calling, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Have a good one.
All right, my man.
All right.
All right. Yeah, man.
That was a friend to the show.
Yeah, my man, Jew. Popping Jewels. So, but, yeah, man.
Another diehard Redskins fan.
I know. You say he's about to fight somebody, right?
Wasn't about the fight per se, but he was definitely creating a very rowdy atmosphere.
Really? How was he? You gotta explain that to later on. We'll talk about it.
Just because he, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, talk about
it
after the show.
Blue motorcycles are a beast. That's all I can say.
But yeah, I think Josh Freeman needs to start. It's gonna be really, and it'll be good for, like I told you last week, Greg Jennings. Someone like Greg Jennings could flourish with a Josh Freeman. I said Josh Freeman. Excuse me.
I think it's important for them to get Josh Freeman in now to decide if is he the quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
Because I think obviously we all know that the Christian Ponder experiment has failed. Christian Ponder, even though you drafted him in the first round, I think it was the 12th overall pick, 3 seasons ago. He's not the answer at quarterback. Maybe he could be your backup quarterback, but he's not your starting quarterback. So you have to decide, okay, do we hit the reset button again and draft a quarterback in this draft or bring in a guy in free agency, or do we think that Josh Freeman is a guy who could be a suitable quarterback for us for the next 5 to 8 years and be that starter for us? So I think now is the time to kind of pull that trigger, especially coming off of a blow-off loss like that to Carolina.
Yeah,
you need to shake it up, shake things up and change.
The only time will tell. But let's go to our Will's popular segment. You know, that's killing the runway. It's killing the world right now. I mean,
it is? Wow,
I'm lying. but, you know, but it's a good topic. I mean, it's a good little segment anyway. Give me three things.
We learned
during week 6. I keep putting found on the outline, but it's cool. We learned during week 6.
I think what we learned during
somebody can kill?
I don't know. there was some rumors that Robert Griffin III wanted the Redskins to select two of his wide receivers he played with at Baylor, which were Josh Gordon and Randall Williams. Yeah. One who currently plays for the Cleveland Browns and the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, you're talking about Terrence Williams.
And I think we found the reason why during these past weeks, Josh Gordon has clearly playing with a quarterback like Brandon Wheaton, went out and had 7 catches for 120 yards. And Randall Williams, from a week-to-week basis, has continued to progress and show and improve as a as a wide receiver. So I think that we learned the reason why he wanted the Redskins to go out and get those two wide receivers. Those guys are definitely looking like they're developing to future stars.
Yeah, real quick, my man Yada had on the chat box on IS Radio stated, like, he had a good question. Will Von Miller be the next Sean Merriman?
No, I think from a standpoint that Von Miller doesn't have the physical ailments that Sean Merriman did. And Sean Merriman's game was predicated on power.
And steroids.
On strength.
And steroids.
And steroids, I guess. The steroids gave him the power and strength to be a bull rusher.
That's true.
Von Miller is, if you notice how he bends and he comes around that edge, has a little bit more agility and plays with more burst and more speed than Sean Merriman did.
Quick burst.
Burst, baby. Burst, 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 burst.
Right. One of the things I learned, you know, even though I don't like the individual as much, but it is what it is, the fact. Man, I learned during week 6 that Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. That 2-minute drill he led was something crazy. And also, you got to give credit to Bill Belichick at the same time. He was going for it that early, and, you know, a lot of people was like, why are you going for it? He knew his team. He knew the quarterback he had. So just knowing that what Tom Brady can do in a 2-minute drill, showing you that, you know, Tom Brady can do something that Tony Romo couldn't.
Okay. Second thing I learned from week 6 was that I think it's time to hit the restart button in Houston. Not only from Matt Schaub, but also with the quarterback. Head coach Gary Kubiak. Mm-hmm. Houston, even though despite having a very talented, loaded roster with perennial All Pros like Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, and J.J. Watt, it may be time to restart things from not only the head coach from a head coach perspective, but also definitely a quarterback perspective, because you've shown that Matt Schaub isn't going to take you to the Super Bowl, because for one reason or another, I guess it may be mental, he just can't step up during the big moments.
All right, another thing I found out is, you know, San Diego was the San Diego of prior years. You know, they got a new head coach, but at the same time, they can lose to a team like the Raiders and then beat a Colts team that can go into, you know, San Francisco and dominate them and lose, and then beat a Seattle team that, you know, that everybody had going to the Super Bowl. This team, the San Diego team, is just, you just don't know what you're going to get. And then, you know, you thought that, you know, by letting Norv Turner go, things would change. But at the same time, this team is still inconsistent. This next week is an opportunity to get 2 games in a row. But still, this team right now, what I've learned is they really haven't changed as much.
Okay. And this may be shocking, the third thing I learned, but it's just something that I personally think is true. From as far as quarterbacking, from the line of scrimmage, I think that Phillip Rivers is only second to Peyton Manning by being able to control the length game at the line of scrimmage. If you notice that he makes his own calls, they huddle up. I guess the coaches send in 3 options, and he has the opportunity to select whatever play he wants and also get the team into audible if they're in a bad play. So for me, Phillip Rivers is playing the quarterback position second to only Peyton Manning.
Dude got 7 babies, huh? He about to have his 7th child.
Who's
Phillip Rivers? About to have his 7th child.
He's been busy.
He gets busy.
He gets it in.
Cromartie, dog, watch out. Watch out, because Phillip Rivers gets it in. All right, next one. All right, what did I learn about week 6? That's a good one. All right, yeah, I know what I learned about week 6. You know, Nick Foles may be improved, man. I came in bad mouth of last week, but Nick Foles came and went to Tampa and had a good game. Michael Vick, you may be in trouble. I've learned. That's what I learned. And Riley Cooper, you've emerged. Isn't it funny, though, that Riley Cooper it started to get out when the white quarterback throws to him? He wasn't getting out with Michael Vick, though.
That's an interesting point.
I'm just saying.
It's funny and interesting. All right. 3 things you should know going into week 7. You want to start?
Going into week 7. Do the Minnesota Vikings take their season serious? This is what, you know, going into it, this is an opportunity that I expect that Josh Freeman should start. So this Josh Freeman should be starting this game. They lost a game that folks thought they had a chance to win. This is the game they need. So this is definitely it.
All right. Atlanta Falcons fans, going into week 7, There's a lot of, I guess, uncertainty, you know, with Julio Jones out, with Steven Jackson still on the bench with an injury, and with Roddy White having his high ankle and hamstring concerns. One thing you should know, Falcons fan, is this is the type of game that'll show you exactly what Matt Ryan is about. He's got a $100 million contract. Does he step up and put this team on his back from here on out, or does he just falter and let this team get another top 10 draft pick?
All right, going into week seven, what folks need to know? Well, folks need to know. All right, the Lions. This is your chance to continue what you're doing. You got a good Bengals team coming in town. You get this W now. People can talk about you as not just being a potential winner of the the NFC. I think that's from the North. NFC North is an opportunity to actually be considered as a team that has a chance to survive to get to the Super Bowl. So, Lions, you have an impressive win against the Bengals, even though they're inconsistent. This is an opportunity for you to showcase your talents and show folks that you are a Super Bowl contender.
All right. Second thing you need to know is Patriots fans, that your quarterback Tom Brady will beat both of the Ryan brothers back-to-back and back-to-back weeks. He beat Rob Ryan, who was the defense coordinator with the Saints, on the last second pass to Kimbrell Tompkins. This week, the Patriots go to MetLife Stadium to play the Jets. And with Geno Smith playing inconsistent the way he has, but that Jets defense still playing strong, I think that Tom Brady will pull out another close victory for the New England Patriots.
Ooh, that's not prediction. Is that good though? I'm a pivot on that one. This is my thing. You know, folks will know, should know. Excuse me. In week seven, different from what they did in week six, Geno Smith will get an opportunity to pass the ball often and do some things he didn't get to do against Pittsburgh. They babied him in against the Steelers, not trying to have him turn the ball over. But the team worked better when, I mean, the team is more of a threat when you're allowing Geno Smith to do more, as you saw in the Atlanta game. So that's the thing. You get to see Geno Smith do a little bit more against the Patriots. Will it result into a victory? That's something I don't know.
All right, the last thing you need to go is for our Sunday night game, for the NFL Sunday night game, Broncos versus Colts. Peyton Manning will throw another 6 touchdowns against the Colts defense on Sunday night.
That's what you – that's your need to know thing?
Six touchdowns. Watch it.
All right. So we're on picks now?
Yep.
Let's do our picks. First game.
Let's get a record. You've actually.
I'm tied him. Yeah.
You've tied. I allowed you to tie to
you
come
didn't
back.
Allow nothing, son. Your picks were horrible, and I was great. don't
come back and tie it at 10-6.
I'm great, and I just did what I do. You know what I mean? I do what I do sometimes. I do it for TV. I do what I do for TV. Okay. All right. And radio and podcast. That's what I do.
All right. Jets Patriots.
I need to be bold, man. It's in New York, right? It's a MetLife. I'm gonna go with the Jets. I think I like that defense. I'm gonna go with the Jets to shock the world.
I'm going with the Patriots.
Okay, see.
Cowboys at Eagles.
Dang. Yeah, this is easy. I'm going with the Eagles. I hate the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Eagles too. I think Nick Foles shreds the Cowboys defense.
Yeah, it's interesting to see who. It's gonna be interesting to see who's gonna be the starting quarterback if Michael Vick's healthy right now. If he is healthy this week.
Yeah, if he is healthy, I think Chip Kelly's doing the right thing and buying himself some time and not committing to either one. Mm-hmm. At this point, Bengals Lions.
I'm gonna go because they've been so inconsistent. I'm gonna go with the Bengals. I mean, go with the Lions. Excuse me. Megatron's playing. I'm going with the Lions.
Even though I think the Bengals do tend to play down or up to the level of competition, I'm gonna go with the Bengals on this one.
Okay. No, I like the defense. The defense, I think, could stop Matthew Stafford. I just think it's a little too inconsistent for my liking. Go ahead.
Broncos Colts Sunday night game.
I like you, Andrew Luck. You're one of my favorite quarterbacks. You playing my favorite quarterback. So, Peyton Manning. I'm going with Peyton Manning.
I'm going with Peyton Manning also. All right. Now we've covered the NFL. We'll talk about a little bit about college football when we come back from a commercial break.
It's the Urban Sports in the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Time out! Okay, guys. Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, We're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
Show out.
Every time I go out. I love this song so much, man. I love this song.
I know you do, man.
It's one of my favorite songs. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports and the Eyes Radio Network. It's the last segment before we go bye-bye. Before we do that, though, we're going to talk some college football. And what we're going to talk about is some of the surprising outcomes that happened on last Saturday. What big loss surprised you the most?
I'll have to go with Utah upsetting Stanford. You know, Utah wasn't ranked. It was a Pac-12 game. So I think that's probably the biggest shock for me out of all the upsets over the weekend.
Yeah, for me, you know, obviously it hurt me because I'm a Michigan fan. I did not expect Penn State to beat my team. I really didn't. We had that game. Kickers missing dumb kicks. We was up 10 before I had to leave the house. I mean, leave my apartment. Mm-hmm. We was up 10. And then when I getting updates on my phone, we lost. I'm about to feel like I'm about to punch somebody. I get emotional, man.
Emotional when it comes to sports.
I need some counseling. I ain't gonna lie.
You really do.
I need counseling. I mean, I'm never gonna hurt anybody. I just inflict pain on myself. So I've punched many things in my lifetime during because of sports. I punched a hole in the wall, which my man Harold Jewett, I put his whole government. My man Jewett has witnessed in college. I punched a hole in a freshman dorm. In a wall, and then I punched a brick once. That hurt. But geez, out of my fist.
I guess so.
Yeah. So, but all in all, man, sports is a big thing. It's a big deal to me sometimes. But at the same time, yeah, that game got me. Obviously, one of the games that I won't say surprised me because I saw the ranking and you saw some of the stats they put up. What Missouri did to Georgia, ending to me their national championship dreams.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll say. Only because that one didn't shock me so much, only because Missouri's undefeated.
But and in Georgia, though, at home, though.
Yeah, but if you paid any attention to Missouri, you know what they were capable of.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, now, you know, on any given Saturday, anything could happen in the SEC just because of the quality of the teams.
Yeah, and especially, you know, when Georgia was missing their two running backs anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, they were vulnerable. They were there for the taking. Mm-hmm. But I just expected Aaron Murray to kind of carry the team just for that week. I knew Missouri was a good team. I knew the offense was high powered with Franklin the quarterback, but I just thought that I just thought Georgia can pull it out. Like, dang, that's another bad one too. But yeah, Georgia can get the W. Yeah,
that
sounds better.
That's better.
That sounds way better.
Okay, we have a huge game with national championship implications on Friday. A battle of two top 10 teams. Number 5 Florida State at number 3 Clemson. This is for all Augusta, for the ACC. And,
this is it.
It's
good. I mean, it's good for ACC football. They haven't had this in such a long time.
Exactly.
This is a game. This is Florida State. I think the ACC is, to me, I don't know if you agree, but to me, the ACC is on a whole different level in terms of popularity when Florida State is running the show.
Absolutely. I've always agreed that when Florida State, from a football standpoint, is at their best, the ACC, it brings more attention to the ACC.
Exactly.
Because Florida State is one of the bigger national programs, you know, who traditionally always has star-studded athletes.
Yes.
On the offense and defensive side of the ball. But me being, I'm still a fan of Florida State, but, you know, I just didn't agree with the way they did Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. It worked for him.
It's the right move, man. Sometimes the right move is the hard move.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm actually, you know, I actually think that Florida State's going to pull this one out for the simple reason that, Florida State's going to get the W. Jameis Winston and those wide receivers against Clemson's D-backs. That's the biggest matchup. And the biggest concern going into this game for Clemson. We all know that Clemson, with Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins and the plethora of playmakers they have, will present problems for most defenses. But Florida State has the speed on defense to kind of combat that and match up with those players.
And true that, my man Yada, another comment too in the chat box on Eyes Radio said Miami, the Hurricanes are coming. I'm sorry, yeah. We forgot about the Hurricanes.
Yeah,
the Hurricanes out there.
With the guy Johnson.
Al Golden
mm-hmm. is done as a coach in Miami. It's nothing short of amazing. Almost yeah. It's on a level with Bill Bradley's done with Penn State.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, all the sanctions and all of the negative press going around both programs.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, you know, Florida breeds those athletes, and he's bringing them in. But back to the topic with Clemson. And Florida State, yeah, I just have too much respect for Jameis Winston. I know Taj Bowles is a Heisman candidate just like Jameis Winston is, and he's had a great season. You got Kid Watkins, the wide receiver, who's probably the best wide receiver in the country. But at the same time, like, what Jameis Winston is as a quarterback, it's going to be hard for Clemson to really battle back and forth with him. He's just such a consistent player, you know, him as a quarterback, consistent star player, and
yeah.
He makes all the throws. And I've seen Taj Bowles for years now, since he's a senior now. So I've seen him for most of his career in Clemson, and he's, you know, he's been erratic at times. This is his best season by far. Like right now, this has been his best season as a playmaker, as a quarterback. But what Jameis Winston's doing with Florida State and that defense too, I think that defense can do some things to confuse Boyd and. To a point where they can definitely win this game.
Touche. I also want to say that this game has Heisman Trophy implications.
Definitely.
With Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston, this will be that signature win that if either one of them were to win the Heisman, would definitely people will highlight
yeah.
and say, you know, did these guys play consistent and play great against a top five defense?
Yeah, this is it. I mean, obviously, I feel like not just like you said, Heisman, not just the Heisman for an individual player. Yes, this will be, to me, propel one of these dudes to front runner of the Heisman. Because I don't think Johnny Manziel's going to get it due to what's happening during the offseason. I don't think he's going to get it.
I think Jameis
Winston, to be totally honest with you, has played at such a high level that people won't care about him being a freshman. I think he's actually surpassed that thought process right now.
Yeah.
So if he beats Taj Bowles and like it's a high scoring game and he just outduels him and whatever and he dominates, like if he dominates that game, he'll be the front runner for the Heisman. And now, not just that, but as a team, now we're looking at it as the teams, the winner of this game to me set themselves up for potentially to be in a national championship game, because who's going to beat them? You get what I'm saying? Like, unless they're going to play each other again in the ACC championship game. ACC championship game, but I don't know if they're on the same side or not. I'm not sure how they're divided within their divisions. But if they win this game, sure. Yeah, I see the winner of this game going to the national championship, because the teams, like, I think Oregon's going to lose, even though Stanford got upset about Utah. I can see Oregon losing to Stanford,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Because Stanford still, they slipped up, but it's an opportunity. I think Stanford can probably slip up and beat Oregon. I just think in the way it's constructed, the season's constructed, and the way it's lined up in the ACC not being still not a powerhouse, I think Florida State or Clemson can go to the national championship, the winner of this game, excuse me.
Yeah, you still have to remember that both teams still have big games during the stretch. With Clemson, they have to play at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And also Florida State still has to play Miami, and they still have to play Florida.
They got Virginia Tech on their schedule too,
yeah.
right?
And they still have to play Florida.
They play Florida
and Miami. So
yeah,
both
Florida,
teams
yeah.
have still have big tests ahead of them. But this game right here between two top five programs will be huge come Saturday night.
Yeah. So who you have winning and why?
Florida State. I've already
said
it.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
But you know why?
Yeah, I think that.
I know you said it, but why? Yeah.
Yeah. The matchup. Florida State's skill players, their wide receivers specifically against Clemson's defensive backs. I don't think that Clemson's defensive backs are able to contain Florida State's wide receivers. And I think that ultimately Jameis Winston, the moment in the game won't be too big for him. He'll be a steadying hand and common influence over that huddle and over that team.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm not going to argue with it. I think it's going to be all about Jameis Winston. and he's gonna make plays. It's gonna be in the pocket. He's a pocket passer, and he's gonna make plays in the pocket. He's gonna hit his wide receivers, and Florida State's defense will do enough for Jameis Winston to take over this game. Their defense, Florida State defense, will do enough with Taj Bowles for Jameis to take over the game.
Touche.
All right, so it's a wrap now. You know it's a wrap. We got to find a better ending way.
Yeah, we do. We have to find a better way.
A way better to
wrap this whole thing.
Yeah, but anyway, man, make sure you check us out on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. You probably listen to us live on this actual site, so make sure you check out some of the other shows or whatever, you know, blogs or whatnot.
There are no other shows.
I know, right? I'm just trying to be nice. Check other blogs. There are blogs on there, so check out some of the blogs on there and read up on it. And even listen to past shows. There are past shows, so just listen to past shows of the urban sports scene and past shows of some of the other shows that were on the Eyes Radio Network.
Associate themselves with Eyes Radio Network, so make sure you may enjoy it.
So make sure you do that, and also listen to our show, which will be posted on our official urban sports scene urban sports scene website. Excuse me, it's www.walio.podbean.com. We'll have this show posted sometime tonight, so make sure you listen to it if you missed it. Or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Tell a friend to listen to it.
Tell a friend, tell
you listen
somebody.
To it, you tell a friend to listen to the show, and it's on our official official website. So make sure you do that for us. And we're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, make sure you email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
All right, once again, man, it's been another show. It's been real, live show. Maybe next week's show will be live. I doubt it because it looks like they're going to pass a bill to get the government funded.
That's good.
So, you know, next week we'll just come on a delay, you know, on a tape show. And we want to thank everybody for listening to us. And, you know, I'll let you know next week.
It's Urban Sports Still Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces. Deuces, bitches!